Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's your first Friday of the NFL season. We are officially underway, and man, I think it's safe to say one game in to the 272 regular season game slate. The NFL is back and better than ever.
It's exciting!
I hope we can say that after Friday night's game between the Eagles and the Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Also on Peacock. Now, last night we got NBC and Peacock, but tonight's game is solely and exclusively on Peacock. So you'll have to either wait, if you don't have the streaming service, wait to catch it on NFL Network, because right now, watching second half of last night's game on NFL Network, they will re-air almost immediately once the game is done, especially with these prime timers, because they're the only ones in town. So you can watch it on NFL Plus when it's over. You can watch, I'm trying to think where else you would, NFL Plus or NFL Network obviously would be able to get highlights on social if this were a regular broadcast and it was in the United States of America, but it's not. So I'm not sure how much we're going to get from Twix with this game on Friday. However, it's something new, I guess, something exciting, a way for the NFL to sell a ton of tickets and more merch. But mostly, I just want these guys, the coaches, the teams, the staff members, media members, NFL officials, all of them to be able to go through this experience safely without any type of notable danger, notable risk. They're trying to take all kinds of precautions, but we don't need headlines for something other than the football game. So they've been practicing. It's a learning experience for them as well as for other teams that will come behind them. For instance, the Packers are staying in the city as opposed to near the airport where the Eagles are staying. They're kind of keeping themselves out of the fray, not in the city, close to the stadium. Well, as it turns out, the Packers are going to have to commute an hour and a half to 2 hours one way to the stadium because of the congestion and the traffic and how bad it is in getting them from one place to the other. So that's going to be a bear. But again, live and learn, and other teams will learn from your various mistakes. Kansas City and Baltimore kicking it all off last night at Arrowhead Stadium. There was a weather delay for 20 minutes. It's one of those games in which you had a little bit of everything, but it's so typical of the NFL that there's always a little extra drama, a little extra, especially when it comes to the Chiefs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can take our poll for the After Hours game of the week. It's our first one, so see what I mean? It's a first Friday. It's a funky Friday. It's a football Friday, of course. It's a fun Friday, I hope. I hope for you, not just here on the show, but also in your own personal life. Like I said, the NFL gave us a good leg up and never a dull moment with this league. And so I will officially deem it, after one game, back and better than ever. But we do have a full slate of games that we're asking you, which one should be the After Hours game of the week? So we've got the poll up at Amy After Hours or me at A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page where you can just kind of pick whichever ones you want. We'll go over those just got to warn you, one of them is running away with it, though, already, which I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I still am sometimes when it comes to gangrene. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. All right, so as for the Thursday night game, we're going to start at the end and we'll work our way backward. We also want to pay homage and honor to one of the best broadcasters who's ever called an NFL game. We'll explain that coming up. The Ravens get the ball after forcing the Chiefs to punt with a minute and 50 seconds to go. They're pinned by Matt Araiza, who's the new Chiefs punter. They're pinned on their own 13. They got a long march ahead of them, and they have no timeouts left. Well, there are a couple of chunk plays, smaller chunks, 8 yards, 9 yards. Lamar scrambled. They were picking up a couple of first downs, having to work the sidelines to stop the clock. It wasn't until a 38-yard chuck to Rashad Bateman that the Ravens were in the red zone and really in business, trailing by 7 points. So they're working the 2-minute drill, but the big break is the deep shot to Rashad Bateman that goes for 38 yards. Now they're on the 10-yard line. There was some conversation about that, whether or not it'd be first and goal or if they were on the 11. They did end up with a first and goal, but not a whole lot of time. So first snap is an incomplete to Isaiah Likely. And then there was a bit of stoppage time there because he was dealing with an injury. Oh, but don't you worry. He would be back. Then on second down with 10 seconds left, Lamar Jackson has an opportunity to get them the tying touchdown.
Lamar in the shotgun. Justice Hill to his right. Two receivers to the left, two to the right. 10 seconds remaining. Lamar takes the snap. Steps up in the pocket under pressure. Fires to the end zone. He missed a wide open Zay Flowers. Flowers was wide open in the back of the end zone, and Lamar threw it behind him.
So, according to Lamar, he was actually trying to throw the ball to Bateman, who was in the same area, but the direction of the ball behind Zay Flowers, it looked almost like he expected Zay to stop where he was, to stop on a dime and catch that ball. Instead, Zay was going across the back of the end zone. Really sweet move, really sweet cut to get away from his defender and find himself free. And a leading throw would have been an easy touchdown, or even one that was on the money and right at him would have gotten through and been that 10-yard touchdown. But according to Lamar, he was actually targeting Bateman, and the ball was kind of in between the two receivers. Neither one of them could get to it. That's Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens radio network. At that point, they're down to just 5 seconds. A third and goal. And man, you want to talk about a roller coaster ride in the span of just those 5 seconds.
Shotgun snap. He moves up in the pocket. Right tackle block. He runs around in a circle. Cocks his arm, throws in the end zone. It's caught in the back of the end zone with the feet down. Likely got it. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Baltimore! Likely! Back of the end zone. And a leap holds it down.
The runner's toe hit out of bounds. It's an incomplete pass. The game is over. Kansas City has won.
The call on the Westwood One Radio Network, Kevin Harlan with the play-by-play. Wait until you hear the Chiefs call. And actually, Producer Pete, I was wondering if the Ravens call was available, because I think that would be interesting too, considering that they thought they were going to end up with that touchdown. And all hell breaks loose, right? You've got the celebration by the Ravens, including Isaiah Likely. That would have been his second touchdown. It comes with no time left on the clock. Immediately, John Harbaugh starts signaling go for two, which in and of itself would have been a moment to talk about. But because all scores are under review, once they take a look at it and then they show it on the screen, it becomes pretty apparent. Now, it's not a long toe or a long toenail, as some are saying. It's very slight. We're talking half a shoe size, maybe. The difference between buying I don't know, 11 and an 11 and a half, depending upon how close you want your toe to the end of the shoe, because it was such a slight step on the white paint. But out of bounds it was, and it was the right call once you see it, whether it's the still photo, whether you see the replay and know what the officials were looking at. So yeah, tough way for the Ravens to lose this one. Isaiah Likely thought he had it.
At this point, it's just you got to live with the call. I mean, you got to look on, obviously watch the film, see what we could do better to not put ourselves in a situation where, you know, to leave in the ref's hands to be able to call that call and call the game. So, you know, what I say is just watch the film, see what we can improve on and go into next week.
So, yeah, Isaiah Likely initially thought it was a touchdown, of course, as many people did. And, hey, you just got to go with the call. I don't know that it's so controversial once you see it. But Lamar Jackson, he's not willing to let it go yet. In fact, he was going to stick to his guns.
I thought it was a touchdown, though. I still think it's a touchdown. Man, he was just open. And I've seen, I don't want to get it wrong, but it looked like 32 and 20 was, like, turning to, like, pursue him when he realized where the ball was going. So I threw it so he can, like, make a play on it just so I don't throw it. Like a line drive to hit him in the face mask, and they turn around and pick the ball. So I gave him the ball so he can jump a little bit. But I thought he did a great job, acrobatic catch, and I believe it was 2 feet in. You know, stand on that.
I believe it was 2 feet in. He was just standing there. Patrick Mahomes got flagged down by NBC to talk about that finish in the emotion of going 1-0 but having to hang on for dear life.
I mean, obviously, it was nerve-wracking. It's a game of inches, though. That's what they say. And that's a great football team. And to come out here and get a win at Arrowhead, it's a way to start off the season. I thought the guys responded well. I mean, like I said, that's a really good football team. We got to see what training camp did for us. We got a lot of things we got to get better at, but it's a great start.
Agreed. Again, Mahomes on NBC. There was plenty of room for improvement, setting the bar low. That's what we talked about in week number one. Both teams missing opportunities. If you look at the red zone number specifically, and isn't that where Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, the offense, especially with the weapons they've got, where they can be so deadly. But they were 1-for-3 at home in the red zone. The Ravens 1-for-4 in the red zone. Each team had a turnover. Lamar Jackson stripped by Chris Jones for a fumble that was recovered by the Chiefs and led to a field goal. That was in the first half. And same thing happened. 3 points for the Ravens after Mahomes throws just a weird interception. Not like him at all. Didn't seem like the pressure was in his face or about to get hit. But he throws a ball over the middle that is intercepted by Roquan Smith and didn't even look like there was a chief around. So a couple of moments, sequences, really, where you can see that they're not in midseason form. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There were also some incredible revelations, just answers to questions people have been asking about the Ravens offensive line. Well, with the three rookies, yeah, it is definitely a work in progress. And they had several flags right away. It was two snaps, one flag. That's how quickly it happened. And the NFL was back. But on that first drive for the Ravens, they had several flags for illegal procedure. This is on the O-line. It has to do with how they're lining up and where they're lining up. And it's supposedly a point of emphasis for the NFL and the officials this year. But at the same time, the O-line is still trying to figure it out. Not a whole lot of blocking for Derrick Henry after that initial drive, and a lot of Lamar's rushing yards, because he did end up with 122 rushing yards, more than any single game last year. A lot of his was just about scrambling and taking advantage of an opening, not so much about the line creating holes for him. You certainly had flashes where, first of all, you can see that Lamar looks a lot healthier. He looks more svelte. He's certainly quicker along the lines of what we saw from him earlier on in his career when he was under his rookie contract. And he talked about wanting to lose weight this offseason. So that was definitely a benefit to him. And how about the introduction to Xavier Worthy on the NFL stage? Man, this is going to be a receiver. You can tell already that brings that speed back to the Chiefs. And we knew about his foot speed from the combine, but to see him in action, first carry, first handoff that he takes, and it turns into a TD.
And now the Chiefs will bring it on an end around to Xavier Worthy at the 20, 15 of the Ravens, 10, 4, touchdown! Kansas City rookie Xavier Worthy on a perfectly executed, well-blocked end around, right to left, and a 21-yarder.
Man, it was crazy. We ran that in the preseason. I fumbled. So, I mean, it was kind of bad. But just being able to, for them to have that trust in me, and I told Coach Nagy, I think this player is going to score, and it happened. So, it was just an amazing moment, just my first touch being a touchdown in the field.
When did you tell him that?
We had a walkthrough this morning. I told him this morning in the walkthrough.
Confidence from Worthy out of Texas. And he told his position coach or OC, I couldn't exactly hear who it was that he was talking about, but he told him that he was going to score on that play and, of course, didn't know if they were going to call it or when, but they did, and he was able to take it and knife right through the offense, or the defense, second level of the defense, and take it 21 yards. And it was the sensation of them seeing him and him already being past them by the time the defenders were able to recognize what was happening. Because he went right through the heart of the defense. It's not like he went around, which he certainly would have the speed to do that. Nah, he went right through the heart of the defense, but didn't even look like he was touched. So that was the first drive for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then into the second half as well, we got to see him in a different capacity.
This is everything I dreamed of. Like I said before, I didn't want to go nowhere else but the Chiefs. So just having this moment and it showing up how it is, it's just an amazing feeling.
Pacheco stays in the game as running back left and now sprints in motion to the right flat. Mahomes will throw it right sideline, wide open, but the catch, Xavier Worthy, 10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, Xavier Worthy, the second time in the end zone in the first game of his career.
The call there with Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. So we'll get to some more of the reaction about the end of this game. But true to form for the NFL, game one of 272 is this dramatic. And we've used and heard all the toe analogies. I'm thinking decided by a half a shoe size. It's so typical of this league. Just nonstop drama, best reality show on TV. It's perfect. It's a perfect way to start. Better than ever, back and better than ever. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. What is the after hours game of the week, if not this one? And you've got the poll up on both Twix as well as Facebook. Now, we had a chance to catch up with former Ravens wide receiver, Super Bowl champion, Kadri Ismail. He joined us in the very first segment of the show. I'm really proud because knowing Q personally, he's not a late night guy. He's much more of a morning person, but he was hanging. He was waiting for us, and he was fired up to talk about the Ravens and their debut. And so we're going to bring back part of that conversation for our early morning Baltimore and Kansas City audience. Great stuff from his perspective as a guy who played the position for 10 years in the league. Also, what else? Oh, well, just in general, some of the thoughts about the upcoming season, too, and looking at some of our matchups this weekend. We'll cram it as much as we can on the back half of this hour. So it's a Friday. It's a football Friday. It's, my goodness, here and upon us. And time to just buckle up. My life is no longer my own. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Looked like we had an opportunity here to tie the game up or try to win it with a two-point conversion. So it didn't happen at the end. But proud of the way the guys fought. We're only going to get better from here on out, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to getting back to work next week and getting ready for the Raiders.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Harbaugh actually called for the Ravens to go for two when he thought they had the Isaiah Likely touchdown at the back of the end zone. Ultimately called off. And so, yeah, a loss again. This is the fifth time in six tries that the Ravens have fallen to the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's a rivalry of sorts because they're both great teams in the AFC, but it's been fairly lopsided. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We had a chance to catch up with, let's see, longtime NFL wide receiver, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens, and a host of the pre and post game on WJZ TV, Kadri Ismail. And he joined us right at the top of the show so we could get his reaction to that last play in the touchdown that was called off.
Amy, I am still sitting here in disbelief. Just wow. I know we always say that, you know, football is a game of inches, and it proved to be that for last night's game. It just was unreal how Lamar Jackson and company went into a game where there were a lot of questions that needed to be answered. I think still need to be answered, but for the most part, it was a very competitive back-and-forth battle, and two teams that hopefully we will be seeing lots of them come the postseason.
So not just the Isaiah Likely with his toe on the line, but 10 seconds before that, Zay Flowers and Lamar Jackson, they can't connect. Zay's wide open in the back of the end zone. As a former wide receiver, what did you see on that play? What was your reaction?
Yeah, it is interesting because I was listening to Lamar speak after the game, and he was talking about, you know, the route combination. He was actually looking at Rashad Bateman and was hoping that Bateman would stop. And so when he got rid of the ball right at the last second, he saw how they came open.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you know, just unfortunate that he wasn't able to get into his vision to begin with. But certainly the route combination, you know, called for, you know, Bateman to be the guy. But unfortunately, he didn't see Zay Flowers.
122 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson, more than any game last season in the first year with the new offensive coordinator. I guess we don't call him new anymore, but Todd Monken. What does that say to you about Lamar and about this offense?
Well, I know one thing. Him being lighter is actually to his benefit. You know,
yeah.
He went into last year, talked about, well, 2 years ago, technically, talked about needing to beef up. He was beefing up, yeah, but you can also see he lost some of that elusiveness, and I would say that his elusiveness is back. He looked really good. The statistics show it, but I love the fact that the way he was able to, you know, run around with the football, he was very decisive, and you can see how, you know, his speed and the way he was pulling away from defenders was on full display.
What about the addition of Derrick Henry? What can that mean for this offense?
Well, you know, I'd love to see more of Derrick Henry. I think, you know, Todd Monken, I'm sure, whatever the game plan was to get Derrick Henry the football, but then I think he seemed to have kind of gone quiet in featuring him. He did get in at some critical points later in the game, but I loved how, well you know, we're going to use Derrick Henry. And, you know, it was critical to see him obviously get the first touchdown of the NFL season. But it was in the red zone where I thought he was going to be most effective. The offensive line, it just bottom line, needs to improve. I think that's where maybe perhaps he wasn't able to get more touches because they were looking at just the way the offensive line wasn't giving him the necessary holes to get into that second level. But really impressed with Derrick Henry when he was able to get loose.
Kadri Ismail has spent 10 years in the NFL as a wide receiver, won a Super Bowl ring with these Baltimore Ravens, and he's the co-host of Purple Pregame and Postgame on WJZ-TV in Baltimore, joining us after the season opener. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So let's talk a little more about the offensive line. Starting out the game, a bunch of those penalties for the illegal formation that the NFL is going to be harping on. How quickly would you expect a line to get up to speed, especially with so many new parts?
Yeah, here's the weird thing about that one. In training camp, you know, John Harbaugh and company, they get the pro refs to come in, and they talked extensively about that, and they seem to have thought that they were okay. And so now you go into the, you know, biggest game as far as an opener and all that, and trying to establish a level of momentum for yourself. And, you know, you see that they're calling you for a illegal formation. Yet at the same time, when you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing, they were doing the same thing. And so I guess I'm confused as much as I would believe Ronnie Stanley would be confused that, well, wait a minute, what really is the rule that you're going to call and be consistent with?
So about the offensive line, that particular series of plays notwithstanding, they've got three rookies, right, along with Stanley. So how quickly can they become a cohesive unit?
They need to be quickly, as quickly can quickly be. my goodness, it just didn't look good. I think Lamar Jackson makes a lot of offensive lines look like they're all pro. otherwise, you know, yeah, there were times where Chris Jones, he was just teeing off on Lamar. And I thought at the same time, you know, Daniel Fa'alele, you know, as big as he is, I think it's a situation where he needs to, you know, find that inner dog in him and just let it loose. Because there were just times where he just didn't seem like he was as into it as he needed to be. And, yeah, I would just say it that way.
Your nickname when you played was the Missile, Kadri. So what is your initial impression of Xavier Worthy with the Chiefs?
Woo! My goodness, he's a speedster for sure. Any speedster, and I not having a nickname, the Missile, just because I was just trying to be cute with it. Nah, I could fly, I fly. And I just think that for Worthy, he was like, goodness, for him to touch the ball and be able to run away from defenders the way he did was super impressive. Great vision, great understanding of where to go and how to continue to make a big play for his team. And then I thought, you know, the fact that he had got a league MVP, a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP, and, arguably the best quarterback in football, and Patrick Mahomes, makes your job a lot easy on that second touchdown. But, he's a talented young man.
The way he accelerated through the defense on his first touch, so the reverse of that initial drive, but yes, he's fast. He might be like a missile, not to take your nickname away. But goodness, it felt like the second they saw him, he was already gone.
Yeah, and if he takes the Missile as a nickname, hey, go ahead, bro. Are you deserving of it? I think Kansas City is a team that likes the splash plays, likes the big plays. They do a lot as far as their formations. They do a lot as far as their personnel. But ultimately, you got to make plays, period. He made a heck of a play, and I can see where, you know, as the season goes on, he's going to be making more and more of plays like that.
How many times did you yell "Mother of Pearl" during this game?
Girl, I was yelling it all caps, all caps. I was so just like, man, I mean, it was an entertaining game, no question. But from a Ravens perspective, you just saw where there's so much left on the field.
This is it's obviously a long haul now with the 17 games, the 18 weeks. There's trips overseas. I mean, the way that the NFL manages the schedule, where they somehow have games on every single day of the week now with the Christmas stuff. What type of, I don't want to call them secrets, but what type of priorities and what type of ways do guys manage to stay as healthy as possible throughout the course of what is a long and arduous season?
You know what? I am a sports and human movement specialist. That's what I do. I love it. And obviously, the way the Ravens season is going to be shaping up with, you know, you talk about Christmas. I mean, there's 3 games in 10 days towards the end of the season for this Ravens ball club that's staring right in the face for them. I think that recovery is going to be critical for this Ravens ball club, and quality of depth is going to be tested as the season goes on. They probably take up every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and if they had to play Friday, they would probably play Friday as well on this Ravens schedule. They play, you know, a very interesting yet demanding schedule, and you know, that's what happens when you're one of the best in the league. So there's no excuses. You're going to have to play it. It's so be it. But I think also it's going to be imperative for them as an organization to prioritize the ability to recover.
What's your perspective on the AFC North in 24? It was the toughest division in football last year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a repeat performance. You look at all the quarterbacks. I think Deshaun Watson is the one that is going to be front and center as far as the most that has to really prove himself, especially after coming off a disappointment last year with his shoulder injury. I think Mike Tomlin is got his hands full with Justin Fields and whether or not, you know, Russell Wilson can be, you know, kind of that quarterback that we saw in Seattle, or is he going to be the guy that is going to be frustrated what we saw from the Denver Broncos phase of his career. And then clearly Joe Burrow, you know, I know he's going to be itching to get back to the upper echelon of QBs in general, let alone the AFC North. But, this is going to be a very competitive division yet again.
And that could apply to other divisions in the AFC as well. So I can't wait to see how it pans out. Good to talk to Qadri Ismail. Joined us right off the top from Baltimore in the wake of this first game of the season. And if you wanted to hear the rest of the conversation, actually the very end of it was my favorite, because his son is on the Ravens practice squad. Kadir is a tight end. He's worked really hard, and he's stuck with the team on the practice squad, and Qadri is a proud papa. So I got a chance to talk to him a little bit about what that means to him and also about his son and his hopes for an NFL career. 855-212-4227, online at Amy After Hours. You can find our Game of the Week poll there as well as on our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
All right, Amel, just like the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs able to turn aside the Ravens by a touchdown. Isaiah likely ruled to have his toe out of bounds on the final play of the game, allowing the Chiefs to survive 27-20.
It looked like we had an opportunity here to tie the game up or try to win it with a two-point conversion. So it didn't happen at the end, but probably the way the guys fought. We're only going to get better from here on out, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to getting back to work next week and getting ready for the Raiders.
Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson accounted for 395 total yards, 273 in the air and a score, another 122 on the ground. Likely had 111 yards receiving and a touchdown, while Derrick Henry added 46 yards, 13 carries with a score in his Baltimore debut. Patrick Mahomes threw for 291 and a TD. Rashee Rice, 7 catches, 103 yards. Rookie Xavier Worthy with a rushing touchdown and receiving as the Chiefs kick off the season with a victory, with Andy Reid knowing just how close it was.
It was two heavyweights in a fight right down to the end. And when they say it's a game of inches, it might be shorter than that.
So another one-score game with these two, and Isaiah likely firing this shot at the two-time defending champs.
I say this is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So this is the best that they got. I mean, good luck in the postseason.
Meanwhile, Russell Wilson won the starting job in the preseason over Justin Fields, but apparently his calf injury not completely in the rearview mirror. Limited in Steelers practice. He'll continue to monitor the situation. Cowboys know their quarterback is Dak Prescott. Question is for how long. He's entering the final year of his deal, still talking extension. And Dak knows it wouldn't be a bad idea to get this done before the year kicks off on Sunday.
Maybe from a team aspect, yeah. You know, I've always talked about how present I can be, but understanding not everybody is capable of that, to be honest with you. There could definitely be some benefit in that.
Checking baseball, where the Phillies erased the Marlins 5-2. Giants upend the D-backs 3-2 on a Patrick Bailey walk-off RBI double. Pirates overwhelmed the Nationals 9-4. Rockies took out the Braves 3-1. Mariners 6, A's 4. Twins handled the Rays 4-3. Rangers stuffed the Angels 3-1. Parker Meadows a grand slam in the ninth. Tigers stunned the Padres 4-3. And the Reds over the Astros 1-0. In U.S. Open women's final is set. Aryna Sabalenka will take on Jessica Pegula on Saturday. I'm Marco Belletti.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
Mahomes in the center, the snap, the spin, the fake handoff, end around pitch, comes to Worthy, comes to the near side, 20, got a block. On the near side, the 10, the 5, touchdown! Takes it in, up! Of lightning.
Talky was honeylicious.
Yeah. Second down, long 10, shotgun snap. Mahomes widens up. Throw. He's got his back pedal receiver at the 10, the 5. That is a touchdown for Xavier Worthy. Caught the ball wide open, far sideline. The Chiefs take it in. Touchdown pass of 35 yards. And the Chiefs extend their lead.
The guy is drunk. But there he goes, the 20, they're chasing him, they're not going to get him, waving his arms, bare-chested, somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him,
here comes
they're coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left, oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Shotgun snap, he moves up in the pocket, right tackle block, he runs around in a circle, cocks his arm, throws in the end zone, it's caught in the back of the end zone with the feet down, likely got it, touchdown, 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 Baltimore, likely, back of the end zone, and a leap pulls it down.
The runner's toe hit out of bounds. It's an incomplete pass. The game is over. Kansas City has won.
Every play is nuts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Just a smattering of what Kevin Harlan can do. A huge congratulations to the legendary play-by-play voice of Westwood One. It's phenomenal to think that he is starting his 40th season. I was actually listening to the pregame show with Rich Eisen, and he had Travis Kelce he talked to earlier in the week and a couple of other big name guests. But while I was doing dishes and getting dinner ready, I was listening and heard them mention Kevin. 40 years he has done NFL play-by-play behind the microphone. He's beginning his 40th season, and Westwood One is privileged to have him. He never seems to miss a beat. He's energetic, and he's exceptional at what he does. He's got a great sense of humor. He and Kurt Warner have developed a tremendous rapport, and yeah, I don't know that I ever hear him make a mistake. So my congratulations to Kevin Harlan, who's also one of our favorite guests here. He's self-deprecating. He's humble, doesn't come across as though he thinks he's a big man on campus, even though, yeah, everyone knows his name, and he's got not just some of the best pipes in the business, but also some of the funniest calls that we've ever heard of streakers and cats and goofy stuff that happens. Again, he never misses a beat. He did have some of the biggest calls from last night's game that we put together in that montage. Thank you, producer Pete. And so we're off and running 2024, one game in, and it had to be that way. Remember last year before the season when we heard about, well, we got the commercial, but we also kept hearing the line about the script and sticking to the script, right? Well, the NFL is definitely sticking to the script. If you didn't hear, Patrick Mahomes passed Len Dawson, the Hall of Famer, who played for the Chiefs in the 60s and the 70s, passed him as the Chiefs' all-time leading passer. And this was in the first half of last night's game. He's only going into his seventh season. Far fewer games, of course, than what Dawson used to accomplish that feat or to set the record, to own the record. It's a pass-happy league now. Completely different than when Len played. But if you think about the fact that Patrick Mahomes is only 28 years old and he's already the Chiefs' all-time leading passer, that's significant. And the Chiefs, unlike last year, get the win. Remember, they fell to Detroit at Arrowhead the previous year. Can't wait to see what's in store, and we're asking you the game of the week. So right now, it's Jets and it's Niners who are pacing the field, which I think some of that has to do with the Niners, of course. The fact that they've answered the questions about Trent Williams' contract and Brandon Ayuk's contract. Ricky Pearsall, actually, their rookie wide receiver, was back at practice. He wasn't practicing, but he was at practice with the Niners yesterday. Really good to see him. And the fact that he was shot not even a week ago and he's there with his teammates is nothing short of a miracle. But the Niners have got all the pieces in place. I mean, this is a team that desperately wants to finish what it started. And so that's got to be the team to beat there in the NFC. At the same time, we could see an even greater rise by teams like the Green Bay Packers, who had an amazing second half of last season. But what more could they have done had they started out that way? Yeah, so a lot of expectations for Jordan Love. I've even heard the letters MVP around his name, which is kind of crazy this early on. But, you know, it's the NFL, so it's perfect league to overreact to. So you've got the Niners hosting the Jets. Can Aaron Rodgers last more than 4 snaps? Well, of course he can. Of course he can. Will he? Because if he doesn't, it would be so Jets.
I mean, I've always kind of played with something on my shoulder. You got to, you know, manufacture things from time to time. But, yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to the prove it. Who would I need to prove to? Just myself at this point. So, but I have a lot of pride in my performance. So when I take the field, I expect greatness. Regardless of what happens on Monday, we win. The headline's going to be, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl.
No.
We lose, same old Jets. So I think we need to get away from some of those outside themes and trust that the program, if it's good enough week one, it's good enough the rest of the season. So we got to trust the process.
You will not hear me saying that if the Niners fall to the Jets, that New York is headed to the Super Bowl. You're not going to hear that. Though, I know it would be a long time coming for the Jets fan base. Yeah, the rookie quarterbacks we will see this weekend. Opposite end of the spectrum, Caleb Williams at the beginning of his career, along with Jaden Daniels. Lots of excitement around Washington, who, by the way, fired that dude who got caught on tape making all the incendiary comments. There's actually video of him. It's not just like the audio. He's on video. What a dope. He really got taken for a ride. He got catfished royally. And then I hope we don't see Drake May this weekend, only because that would mean something went wrong with Jacoby Brissett. But we will see Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. So your 3 rookie quarterbacks. Gosh, we go on and on about all the different storylines. It's going to be amazing. How many more commercials can Dan Campbell do for Applebee's? We've got 2 so far. We will be back with you on Sunday night for the extensive Sunday Night Football Show. Will cover every single game. Can't wait for that. My head will be spinning, yours too, but that's the fun of it. Enjoy your weekend until then. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Boom! From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.